The readers are approaching the gate.
This is a no-holds-barred match between some of the favorites in the e-reader sweepstakes. And the starter pistol today is being shot by famed novelist Madison Only Moderately Clever Bell.
And they're off.
And right out of the gate, the Kindle is out in the lead with better screen contrast, battery life, and storage capacity. Followed by the Nook, also Wi-Fi and 3G. In third, the Sony Reader, priced at twice as much as the others, but with no huge advantage apart from a slightly larger screen. And coming up on the inside track is the iPad, also expensive. Does the iPad really belong here, Jerry?
That's hard to say, Bill, since the iPad is more of a tablet.
And here the question has to be, tablet or capsule?
No. What?
And the pack is a bit behind the front four, but it still could be anybody's race. The Edge, the Alex, Fox at Eastlick, Kobo, Libre, Bukin, Cybook, and falling behind, the Samsung Galaxy Tab. And that is not a misprint. The racers have been running for the last several months, with new introductions and dropouts happening along the way. We'll be sticking with this race for at least the next few years. Now back to the studio.
Hello, I'm Brad Grahowski, the Indie Bookman, and you are now listening to The Indie Bookman Show. The sound of independent publishing. So from our day at the races opening there, you might have gleaned that we are talking about ebooks this week. Now, we aren't going to get involved in the race over which ebook is really better. Maybe we can get into that another day. But I wanted to look at ebooks this week, regardless of what reader or platform they are on, and see if we can figure out how they will affect us as readers, writers, and publishers. Now, I have this friend, Rob. He loves his Kindle. I don't think he will even read anything anymore if it isn't on it. I figured it might start us out right if I sat down with him to ask him the simple question, why?
So, Rob, you have a Kindle.
I do.
And you, I take it you like it.
I love my Kindle.
Why? What do you like about it so much?
Well, I've done more, probably done more reading on this Kindle. I got it in September, and I've probably done more reading since September of last year than I did in the 5 years before that.
Because it's more convenient, because you always have it with you, or it's easier to purchase books?
It really is that there are, like, at least four or five different books on me at any time. If I only had one book or even two books around, chances are I wouldn't pick it up every time and start reading every time. But I find myself, anytime I open the Kindle, I'm at least reading half a chapter, maybe a whole chapter.
Do you find that you've purchased more books?
The really nice thing about the Kindle is that if you're sitting there and you're not interested in anything that's in the Kindle, you can go ahead and say, okay, I'm just going to log into the Amazon store and I'm going to take a look. And every book that's in the store has a one paragraph sample. And I know people don't like to give their stuff away, but definitely the trick of being able to go onto the Amazon store and say, okay, I don't necessarily know if I'm gonna like this book, but I want a preview and I'll keep it around. And at the end of the preview, it actually says, hey, you know, you finished reading a chapter of this book. You know, if you like it, you should go ahead and get it. Being able to grab those samples has actually encouraged me to buy a few books that I might not have bought otherwise.
Is there anything you might have to say to writers who are thinking, do I want to get into this whole ebook thing?
The biggest thing that I've run into is that the publishers for, I guess especially Amazon ebooks, are allowed to set restrictions on what you can do with the book once you have it in your Kindle. And that's not just, you know, the form of copying it or moving it from one device to another. They can also lock down the text-to-speech function, which I use a lot in the car. They can lock down the fonts and restrict you to only the font that the author chooses. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing that I would tell to authors who are talking to ebook publishers or setting up their own ebook is to just don't do it. Don't tell me how I should be reading this book. That's not really your choice anymore. I mean, I'm going to read this book. I might be reading it on my computer screen. I might be reading it on my Kindle. I might be reading it on my iPod. And all of those devices are going to have a very different level of comfort for me. And if you take those choices away, if you don't let me do text-to-speech in the car, I'm probably not going to buy the book.
So what do you think? Are you an ebook man to the end now?
I have to say, I am definitely an ebook man to the end. I can't remember the last real book that I picked up. My name's Rob Carlson, and most of my blogging and writing and Twittering is all off of Vees.net, V-E-E-S.net.
Now, Rob is a passionate user, obviously, and that's a good place to start this topic. But what do tech experts have to say about this whole ebook thing?
So the name is Mario Armstrong, and I call myself digital lifestyle expert. And what that means is that I basically live all things tech and try to break it down so that the average person can understand what's actually happening with all this technology that's invading our lives and integrating into our lives.
That's Mario Armstrong. He's a tech show host, commentator, and digital lifestyles expert. I've seen him on national news programs talking about tech, and he also hosts a tech show, Digital Cafe, on WYPR right here in Baltimore.
What are the primary ebook readers that are on the market right now?
Yeah, I would say Kindle obviously has been out there for quite some time and has been a leader in the space. Then you have the Barnes & Noble Nook. Sony has a line of e-readers. Then you have companies that you may not really know the brand names. Companies like Pan Digital have now created a ebook reader. And there are others out there. But if you had to, you know, if you had to kind of pinpoint the most popular, I would probably say the hottest battle seems to always come down to the Kindle versus the Nook.
Yeah. And how do you see the iPad playing into that, too?
Because it's funny you bring that up, right? Because you notice I didn't mention that as an ebook reader. It does bring up a good point. I mean, if you are really looking to do more than just read books, that might be an alternative. I mean, I know people that will use the Kindle app on their smartphone or on their iPhone and read a book on their phone.
Well, how do you see the development of all these devices as something that's changing the way we relate to books and literature? You know, do you think we're interacting, or we will be interacting differently with written language and books and literature?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what immediately kind of comes to mind for me is the connection to the fact that you're holding something electronic is different than holding the paperback or, you know, the hardcover and flipping through your pages. I mean, even the sense of highlighting, it shouldn't be underestimated. I mean, taking the yellow highlighter and taking that across a page and a sentence, I love doing that. And to me, it also helps me to learn and also to retain. And I don't know that I get the same sense when I do highlighting in an ebook reader that it retains the same way. And it has to be because I'm using another part of my body that's sending signals to my brain, that's communicating to me in a different way. You know what I mean?
I don't know
if I'm sounding far out there, but...
Well, I think digital music has really transformed the music industry. I know as a consumer, I buy a lot more music because it's so easy. A few taps on my iPhone and I can find out who an artist is that, you know, I may hear them on the radio and download their track or their album right then and there. Do you see this ease of data transfer affecting the book industry the same way once everything, you know, once things are digital in the book world?
When we in the tech field, when we look for things that disrupt the industry, you clearly touched on a model that's been totally disrupted and flipped upside down on its head, and that is the music publishing model. I do feel that you can consume more music faster than you can consume books, because you still need to kind of read the material, but your the essence of your point is right. I mean, the fact that you can quickly impulse buy things, whether that be books or other items, means you could have more of them. Don't know how that really necessarily translates into whether more people will read or not. But
right.
Which
is a whole different thing. Right?
right.
What do you see for the future of e-readers? Do you think they're going to slowly assert paper books and push them out? Or do you think that they'll each form their own sort of segment of the book-selling market? Or do you think it's a passing fad? Or do you think, eventually we're going to be plugging them right into our brains and the written language itself is going to sort of pass away?
Yeah, no, now you're talking like, download Moby Dick and it just like Matrix, it just gets downloaded into my head. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't really want to understand and try to envision that future. I like kind of where we are right now. It's a great sweet spot of old school and meets new school and some privacy issues, but everyone still is kind of like okay. So
that's a good point. And you sort of have a choice. You can go either way, because most books that you want to read are going to be available digitally, and you can also order a print copy if you want. So yeah, that's a good point, that this is a nice sort of sweet spot.
Yeah, it's a sweet spot. Everybody can be satisfied right now too. Not long though.
I think it's interesting if you draw a parallel again, drawing from the music world. I'm sure, at one point it was pretty well determined that that vinyl was done for, that no one would ever listen to an album on vinyl again. And yet we're seeing now this resurgence of vinyl. And that's almost kind of depressing to think of written books in the same position as vinyl is now, but I do think it's an interesting, demonstration that books probably aren't ever going to completely go away.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, no, I really agree with you and hope that that's not the case. On the flip side, I do advocate for, making content overall more accessible to more people in as many ways as possible, because information is power and knowledge is power, and many people get education not just by getting, a high school diploma or a GED or a four-year degree or what have you. I mean, you're constantly learning when you constantly read. And if there's any one area that I wish would really figure out how to embrace electronic books better, that would be the classroom.
Okay, we've sort of been looking at ebooks from a consumer perspective. But how are publishers embracing the ebook revolution? I called my friend Deborah Emin.
This is Deborah Emin. I'm the founder and publisher
owner of Sullivan Street Press, an indie imprint that publishes ebooks exclusively, to ask her why she would do that and how it's working for her.
Sullivan Street Press sells and publishes ebooks exclusively. How did you come to that decision? How did you decide that was going to be the format you were going to focus on specifically?
Well, first I did it because I made a huge mistake, which was printing a book and seeing what it costs both financially and environmentally to have done that. Just doing really a cost-benefit analysis of what it would have taken just to produce the book as an ebook. There's no shipping, there's no wear and tear on land, there's no having to warehouse it, there's no having to, use any means of transportation to get it to readers. They just download it.
When did you make that decision? Like, at what point?
The more I studied about the kind of publishing I wanted to do, the more I realized ebooks were really probably going to be the future of writing, not just in terms of print on the screen, do you know what I mean? But that there's going to be a revolution in the way in which reading and writing change.
What sort of response have you gotten from authors? Do they feel limited by this? Or do they see it as an opportunity to jumpstart their book so that they can move into print later? Or are you finding that really they're happy to have their book strictly in ebook form and they're committed to that? Or even a mix of these?
I think there's two groups. One is the group that's much younger, and they're already doing things that are phenomenal, and I can't even afford to produce them. And then there's the more stodgy ones, people who have had a print existence already or have been raised to expect a print existence. And those people are having a very difficult time making the switch.
I have a theory that that there's a myth in e-publishing right now. And that myth is that the people who are reading e-books are these hip, young, you know, the next generation
right.
of readers.
No, that's not true. I see an awful lot of men, middle-aged and older, businessmen reading on their Kindles. They're reading the Wall Street Journal, they're reading newspapers, they're reading some books. The writers, I think, are the ones who really, at this moment, aren't being heard from. They're the ones who are kind of in the background. The writers who care about the revolution and are really involved in it.
I think that's true. I think that's changing too, though. I mean, you see
yeah, I do too,
whole...
but I think they're less quoted, whereas the publishers and the readers and the creators of these devices are being heard from. The writers themselves, I think, are pretty quiet in comparison.
It feels like at this moment in time, we've reached something of a tipping point in the transition to ebooks.
I think we passed the tipping point, I think, when it comes just to these very mundane devices. I think we're past the tipping point for that.
But it's only been recently that Amazon has begun reporting surprising numbers.
I don't trust Amazon's numbers reporting. I'm sorry. They have no accountability. They don't have to tell the truth.
And it's only now that we have someone like Amanda Hawking who's mm-hmm. suddenly we have a superstar of ebook publishing
right.
that we can point to and that people can say, oh, if she can do it, I can do it.
Right, and also that she then gave it up in order to take a $2 million deal with St. Martin's.
Do you even feel like, though, as far as people accepting ebooks as a means of reading and enjoying literature, that that's sort of accelerating now?
Oh, I think it accelerated. I think, you know, as again, I'm not so sure how much more saturation at this moment any of this is going to have. Not because people aren't, I think they're enjoying having, they're easy to carry around when you travel, as anybody like I do who travels, and last summer I was on a train and, you know, I didn't have my car, so I'm like carrying as little as possible. Having an e-reader meant I could read 10, 20 books if I wanted to, because I had them with me and it, you know, was still the same weight as this one e-reader, you know, and I could flip around. I didn't have to, you know, finish one and leave it behind so I could, you know what I'm saying? And it is, certainly with the people 50 and older, they're more mobile in terms of vacationing and all, and they love it. Writers love it for the same reason, that you can go on a plane, you know, people who do a lot of travel and do a lot of talks and have books, you know, that they need to keep going as a reader as well. This really, it makes their lives incredibly easier. If you go to www.sullivanstpress.com, the new site is up and we'll be creating all of this new dialogue among readers and thinkers about writing and thinkers about where we're going in the future.
And finally, what about booksellers? Now, if you have been paying attention, you already know. A new service launched over the past month or so. BookBaby is a spin-off of the very popular CD Baby website. I was lucky enough to speak with the president of BookBaby, Brian Felsen.
I'm Brian Felsen. I'm the president of BookBaby and CD Baby and HostBaby.
Now, BookBaby is a relatively new service. At the time this episode first airs, they'll only have been up for a few months. They plan to help authors convert their books to the ebook platform and get them listed in all the major ebook outlets.
Brian, can you tell us a little bit about BookBaby and what you guys are looking to do?
BookBaby distributes independent authors' content to a variety of e-readers and their ebook stores. So if you're an author, you just send us anything, a Microsoft Word document, or just send us your file, and we will format it and convert it to and distribute it to retailers and their ebook stores, such as Apple's iPad, Amazon's Kindle, Barnes & Noble's Nook, Sony e-reader, Kobo Books and the like, and we distribute it, and then we pay out every Tuesday, and we pay the authors 100% of the money that comes in, so we keep nothing.
Oh, that's great. And you guys are kind of one of the first companies to sort of consolidate all of this and make it really simple for authors, is that right?
Yes. What we do is, we deal with the formatting and conversion so the author doesn't have to, and the delivery, and the metadata, and everything that an author would need to worry about technologically. And then when sales occur, we present them with a simplified accounting dashboard so they can easily see their sales. They don't have to chase down distributors or anything like that. It's all just presented to them, and they're automatically paid.
Yeah, that's really great. That's really, really great.
Yeah.
So Book Baby is sort of a sister site or a spinoff from CD Baby, right?
Yes.
And CD Baby, just a little background.
Sure. CD Baby is the largest distributor of independent music on the web. We have over 250,000 artists and 3.5 million tracks, which we distribute to everyone from Amazon, Rhapsody, Spotify, iTunes, and dozens of other retailers. We also warehouse and sell CDs. So if an artist sends us 5 CDs, for example, we will rip the music from them and put 30-second samples on a website for the artist, and then we will store copies in our warehouse forever. And then if someone in any country buys a CD, we will ship it within a couple hours, and then and we only keep $4, and we send the rest of the money to the artist.
That's great. Okay, so pretty similar model with the digital end of things as you're trying to do with
the book. The difference is that for CD Baby, it's we keep $4 on the CD sale. So if you sell a CD for $14, we send on $10 to the artist, and for the digital, we just keep 9%. For Book Baby, it's a slightly different model because after the first year, we charge a $19 annual subscription for all the account maintenance and the accounting and everything else. But then we pass on 100% of the profits to the author, and we keep zero.
So how did CD Baby decide to get into the book business? You guys have a lot of experience. You know, you've been working with indie musicians for years. And what made you sort of decide to get into books now, and why was now the right time to do that?
Many reasons. I mean, some of it is great personal interest. I'm a writer and an artist, and I'm fascinated by new technology. A lot of it is just diversification for the business, since the music industry is definitely challenged right now. And finally, it's just the explosion of these e-reader devices, which enable authors to be able they don't need gatekeepers anymore. They don't need to print out thousands of copies on a vanity press. They don't need to deal with getting their books into bookstores. They can just easily just send us a file and then get on millions of devices anywhere in the world, you know, pretty much instantly. So there's many reasons.
So I think it's fair to say that CD Baby pretty much revolutionized indie music in the 90s and the early 2000s, right? As far as musicians being able to sell and distribute their music online, which was pretty huge. But the book industry at this point is a little different. There are outlets now for authors to sell their books, and the average indie author can already get their book out there. So what is Book Baby going to bring to the table that could really have an impact similar to what CD Baby had for the music industry when it started?
Sure. There's different things. First is the incredible ease of use of it. I mean, if I want to get my book onto the different platforms, I have to do all the conversions and the formatting. I would have to upload them individually to all the platforms. I would have to deal with accounting and request payment. This way, really, you just send us the file and we do all the conversions and formatting, which is different for each partner, and get it up there. So it'll look good, and you don't have to request payment or anything. It's just there for you. And secondly, there's a lot of other things that you can include in an ebook other than just words. I mean, there's multimedia capabilities. So you can include audio or video in there, and we can help you do that. And finally, we have a bunch of other services. We're rolling out in a couple of weeks web hosting for authors, so that way authors can have a unified presence on the web and look professional and amazing in dozens and dozens of templates, each of which you can completely customize without needing a designer or without needing to know a lick of HTML.
How do you see the state of ebook publishing right now? I think there's a lot of excitement at the moment, but where do you think things are going to go?
It's been so explosive that it's difficult to tell entirely where it's going to go, meaning that it's still small and it still feels like where music was a few years ago. Ebooks, there's a lot fewer ebooks out there, but there are a lot of authors who just are not as technologically up on things as they were in the music, even as of a couple years ago. I also think that it's going to blur the lines between who's an author and who's a blogger, or who's an author and who's a content creator of music and video, but has words accompanying it. And will the words predominate, or will the multimedia predominate? And then finally, in terms of consumption, it's really difficult to predict whether e-reading, whether it will really, over a long-term basis, turn people back to focusing on longer-form content than 140-character sound bites, or whether reading is just another app. There are other things on my iPad that do compete for my attention, and yeah, I may read for a half hour and then want to check my email or play Plants vs. Zombies or something. So reading may become just another app. And it's really impossible to see where it's going to go. You can take some lessons from the music industry, but we just don't know.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or like us to know about BookBaby?
We're continuing to work and continuing to develop and just try stuff out. And we think that just by making it easy for independent authors, making the little guy look big, and paying out 100% of all the money that the author earns, that we can be really disruptive. And we think that it can we can do for BookBaby what we've done for CD Baby and independent music.
Where can authors and publishers go to find out more about BookBaby and to sign up to list their ebooks with you?
Sure. I mean, they can just go to bookbaby.com, and all the information is on there. And they can call as well. We have our phone numbers on there, too. We've got 40 different customer service reps who can answer any of your questions. And then we're starting a blog on there, so that'll have other resources, including a free guide that you can download.
Ebooks are a huge topic. I feel like we've only scratched the surface here, but I do think we've given you a good start in thinking about them. I think it's pretty clear that readers are really beginning to embrace ebooks, and that publishers and booksellers are responding. Personally, I don't think paper books are going away anytime soon, but if you are a writer or a publisher, I think we have reached a point where you can no longer afford to ignore ebooks. I certainly have been trying so far, but in putting this show together, I have become convinced. I know I will own one of those ebook readers soon. I'm just waiting to see who crosses the finish line. Special thanks for music this week by Persona and Monopoly. Check out links to more music at indiebookman.com. What does indie publishing sound like to you? To submit questions, leave a comment, or find out how you can contribute to the show, stop by indiebookman.com or send an email to theshow@indiebookman.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just click the links on our website. In the indie spirit of things, our opening e-reader horse race piece was created by our fellow Baltimore Podcasting Network member, Jeffrey Welchman, and the Inverse Delirium.
In April 2010, the future of podcasting arrived, waited in the lobby for about an hour, and then left to get a sandwich. In the meantime, there's the Inverse Delirium. I'm Jeffrey Welchman, host of a really funny show, inspired by the likes of Monty Python, Fire Sign Theater, Mr. Show, and Word Jazz. Look for us at InverseDelirium.com. The Inverse Delirium, the funniest podcast you haven't heard yet.
To hear more of the Inverse Delirium podcast, look for the link on our website. Remind all of your friends to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so they won't miss an Indie Bookman beat. I'm Brad Grahowski, the Indie Bookman, and this is the sound of independent publishing.
The Indie Bookman Show is hosted by Brad Grahowski. Written and produced by Brad Grahowski and Sean P. Finn. Production assistant Nima Grahowski. Hey, that's me! Recorded and edited by technical director Sean P. Finn. Brought to you by the generous support of 40noise.com and authorsbookshop.com. Reminding you to buy indie, sell indie, be indie.
Eventually, we're going to be plugging them right into our brains.